إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, there is no one to mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And inshallah, this is our fourth class for the fifth album for the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram من أدلة الأحكام للحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني. This is the fourth class for the explanation of the book, the attainment of the objective. And we're still dealing with the same chapter concerning the book of marriage. And today, inshallah, we have a new chapter. And we're going to be talking about today as-sadaq or al-mahr, or that they may say it in English, dowry. We asking all the sisters, please kindly, that they move forward or go to the back wall. If you please kindly, starting from Sister Yasmin. If you can move against the other wall, please. Or you going there by the other sister. Thank you very much. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much. Today, inshallah, we have chapter 3. And this under the book of marriage. For those who have the book Bulugh al-Maram, we are in page number 363. Again, we are in page number 363. And we starting from hadith number 881. First, before we get to the chapter, in small introduction or explanation about the sadaq, they using the term here juncture or whatever they call it. I really don't know what this in English, but mahr or sadaq, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةِ. Okay, the sadaq, this what the term that been used in the Quran. There is another term for it, which is dowry. The mention of sadaq or the dowry had came in Surah An-Nisa, the chapter of women. and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned about giving the women their dowry. Sadaq is what you may call it, a free gift that have to be presented by the future husband to his future wife. And this is something that he had given it to his future wife to be in her position or to utilize it in whatever means and ways that you want. It is the right of the woman, is not the right of her father or her brother or her son, that this is supposed to be presented by the husband to his future wife, and she's the only one has the right to receive it and possess it and use it in whatever ways that she wants. Islam didn't make any specific amount of the dowry, neither Islam had gave any specific item or supposed to be given. We spoke before about different conditions that even that the dowry was that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the man to look for a ring made out of iron, and we know that the man even didn't have this. And finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give him the woman in marriage in return that he will teach her some of the surahs, the chapters of the Quran that he know. This dowry can be comes to agreement between the husband and the future wife as well as the guardian. It can be negotiated between the three parties, and the woman has the right to demand whatever amount that she want or whatever that she would like to have for dowry. If the man could not meet this request now and is no negotiation about it, so that means the man will go to look for another wife. But it is her right to look for whatever dowry that she want. But we have to understand also that the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourage us to make the dowry to be easy, so we can facilitate this marriage institution, not to make it a means of hardship, especially that the man who's going to be getting married, you see, that he's going to be responsible. Now he's going to about to get apartment, he has to furnish the apartment, he is going to be responsible about all this financial support, and so it shouldn't be the dowry became a problem. And as I said, that the best that if we try to reduce this amount of dowry. The hadith, the first hadith in our chapter today, hadith which reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. Hadith reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. This hadith number 881. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه أعتق صفية وجعل عتقها صداقها. متفق عليه. This hadith which narrated by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set Safiya free and made her freedom her dowry. As we said, that sadaq or the mahr or the dowry, okay, which is the right of the woman. And here it shows you that the sadaq or the dowry does not have to be a money, does not have to be something also physically like a car or aeroplane or a building. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to have Safiya, which was a slave girl under the position of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He possessed it in the battle of Khaybar. Okay, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set her free. that mean he changed her position from being a slave girl to be a free woman. And as a result of giving her her freedom, this has become her dowry. Okay? So instead of giving money, because in actuality the way that a person gets free from slavery is by that the master will set them free for the pleasure of Allah, or that the slave will go and work and earn money to pay for the freedom, their freedom, which they will agree between him and the master how much he want for this freedom. Or it can be a way also that became expiation or forgiveness for something, or to make up. Okay, this is the way is how a person get free, is by the master would set it free for the sake of Allah, or that a matter of freeing a person to make up for some sin or mistakes or what you call expiation. Okay, or that the master and the slave will agree about certain amount of money which the slave, male or female, they will go and work to earn this money. So in this here condition, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has a slave girl which her name is Safiya. Okay, and he set her free, and this freedom became her dowry. Okay, became her dowry. So we understand the permissibility of the dowry can be in a different means instead of money. Also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us that good treatment to the slave, okay, that he frees the slave and he will marry her. Okay, so slave is still a human being, still a human being, and they can be in a position like anybody else. That the mahar or the dowry, it can be in any form as long as acceptable to the woman and is not something haram. As example, a man doesn't go and give insurance policy to his wife to be her dowry, as example, okay? Or that he will give her what you call the things that they buy from the bank, stocks market, certificates of stocks in market, because this is also dealing with haram. Or go and give her her 7-Eleven convenience store to be her dowry, because involved, okay, something haram here. The dowry can be something what you call tangible, or can be cash, it can be something in return that acceptable. And we give example, two examples here, one before, alaykum assalam, one before, that the man taught the woman Quran and this became her dowry. And this condition, it shows that given the freedom is not something you understand actually that you can catch it in your hand, but is you may call it is something is a value, but is not
abstract,
is not tangible, okay? Yeah. If this is what you want to call it. Yeah. But it has its position, it has its value, okay, and still something halal and good and acceptable. We looked at hadith number 882 in page number 363. وعن أبي سلمة ابن عبد الرحمن أنه قال سألت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها كم كان صداق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قالت كان صداقه لأزواجه 12 أقية ونشا. قالت أتدري من نشوا؟ من نشوا؟ قال قلت لا. قالت نصف أقية. فتلك 500 درهم فهذا صداق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اوكي this hadith it shows us the amount of dowry that been given to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which as we said before there is no limit how much more or how much less, but approximately one uqiyah, which is approximately about 120 gram of silver. Okay, one uqiyah is equal to 120 gram of silver. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his dowry to his wives, to each one of them, was 12 uqiyah and half. Okay, so this like a good amount, and it shows also the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That from this hadith we understand that sadaq or mahr or dowry, whatever name you want to use, it is part of the marriage contract, regardless that the people agree about it or didn't agree about it, they wrote it in the contract or they didn't write it, still it have to be given. Let's assume that some people they contract the marriage without mentioning anything about the dowry. This woman, what kind of dowry she will get? She will get a equal amount of what usually be given in this society or this locality. Like as example, in let's say some place like in Masjid al-Muslimin, Columbia, South Carolina, what is known to be average dowry be given? Okay, so if somebody didn't name or didn't make a certain agreement about what is the dowry, now when the woman come to determine to request, huh? When she come to demand her dowry, what kind of dowry the man have to give her is the average known in the Muslim community or in the country or in the city, what is known as common that the people gave. Okay, if it's wheat, if it's this what they gave. Okay, one truck of load full with wheat, this what he gave. Okay, if it's $500, this will be $500. Okay, if it's jewelry like a ring and necklace and things like this, so what is common known in this locality, this is what will be given in case if it's not been named and agree about before the marriage. The next hadith that in page number 364, حديث نمبر 883, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لما تزوج علي فاطمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطيها شيئا, قال ما عندي شيء, قال فأين درعك الحطمة, رواه أبو داود. This hadith reported by ابن عباس, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, Nisa'i and Al-Hakim. The hadith is authentic. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was giving his daughter Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, to his cousin Ali in marriage. Okay, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he request him or command him to give her something. Okay, he said, I don't have anything to give. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him about his dirr, okay, the shield that he used for protection when he goes to the war. which is like a coat made out of metal, and that the people will wear it as means of protection, that not to be hurt during the battlefield. So here we see from this hadith, number one, the permissibility of conducting marriage with a person who is not financially able to meet the needs and the demands of marriage. Because if the man does not even have the dowry to pay, okay? But back again, this is up to the guardian and up to the woman if she wants to marry this man who barely understand working by hours, and one day he found jobs and the second day maybe he doesn't have a job. Okay? This is their choice. If the woman wants to be in this kind of condition, it is her choice. Okay? So that Ali even don't have something to give, even a dowry. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he permitted this kind of marriage. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had recommended or questioned him for something specifically, which is his dirr, okay, like what you call similar to what we call today like bulletproof vest, okay. And he requested this to be given as a dowry. And also again we learn from this hadith that we try to make the dowry easy as much as possible, that dowry can be cash or can be in any other kind of material as long as is not haram and acceptable, and it's not because something that you have it for the war or preparing it, putting aside for the war, that this has become a waqf. Is only can be used for this. No, because you own it, you still can use it in whatever means. Let's say that a person has a gun, and walaikum salam, he only has this gun, he put it aside in case there is any things with the enemy of Allah and he goes to fight. That does not mean if he in a bad financial condition, he could not take this gun and sell it, okay? Because he put it aside only for fighting fisabilillah, or some people has a horse or anything like this. So these things that you utilize it for certain condition, even to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's still under your ownership, you can take it and utilize it for other means which is still also pleasing to Allah. Yes. Yes, I said he can if the woman accepted this. Okay? But you see, like as example, if a person he own a house, he have a condominium apartment that his father when he died he left it for him. But he doesn't have a job as example. He have a place to shelter his wife. Sometimes he found a job, sometimes he doesn't. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make means for the people, Allah make means for the birds, for the worms. But do we say that the women have to do this? No, nobody tells them that they have to. But if she accept to be with a person in this condition, and we saw a worse condition like this, the man who is want to marry and he don't have anything except one piece of cloth, okay? That means the top half of his body was naked. He only have one piece to cover his private parts, like a towel, bathroom towel. This is all what he got. And the Prophet ﷺ keep telling him, you understand, go look for this, look for this. He say, O Prophet of Allah, this is the only thing I can give it to her. He said, what she going to do with this towel? If she take it, you be naked. And if she use it, okay, you be naked. And if he use it, she be naked. So the man didn't have even something. Where he living, I don't know where he was living, but But this was the case, you understand? People use, and this is teach us something that to be more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the Sahaba, those are the people who are the Sahaba. This is the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today we have things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how much we have. And we're still complaining and we think that we have nothing. And those are the best people after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And sometimes some of the, our kids, even if you try to tell him this is $30 to buy sneakers, he is not going to take $30. You see? Because if the sneaker is less than $80 and $100, he's not going to wear it. Okay? It have to have all this, you know? And alhamdulillah, you see, I'm here hitting the 50 soon in a few months. I bought a shoes, you understand, more than, I could not believe it, all my life. In Egypt, in Arabia, in America, okay? The best shoes that I will go to the airport with it, you understand? I bought it from, what you call this, the yard sale here for the school, for $1. I'm serious, okay? And the most that I spent was $12 in a sandal because I was emergency case and I have to go pick and pay. So I have no choice except to go and spend maximum $12. Now if you go to my son, and you ask him, you understand, to buy a sneakers for $30 or $40, there's no way, okay? And he will go work for a whole week, alright, and the whole week payment he will go and buy a sneaker. Because his father is old fashioned and he could not take this because everybody will look down on him, you see, from kids that in his age, because he's wearing a sneaker for $30. Why? Because now he see himself, his value is equal to the shoes that he wear. He don't see himself to be Abdullah and be the person who is a slave of Allah. My honor is being a person who know Fatiha, a person who know Ikhlas, a person who go to the masjid for Jum'ah. He doesn't see this. You see, my value is in my sneakers. So, sneaker equal to whatever your name is. This is what the kids see it, you see, and this is serious. And this is the Sahaba. No human being on the earth at any place can be better after the Prophet ﷺ than the Sahaba. And this Ali is the cousin of the Prophet. And he don't have even the money to pay a dowry. But since the dowry is part of the marriage, the Prophet ﷺ, he told him to bring his shield, the metal shield, okay, to give it to his wife. Now it's up to her, she can sell it, she keep it, whatever, but this is hers now, okay? She can sell it on him later on when you have the money, but dowry is part of the marriage and can be in any form as long as halal and acceptable to the woman.
This thing is being kind of greedy.
Excuse me?
Like, what's she going to do with the shield?
She's
going to take it from him and he can't use it now. Now he has no protection on the battlefield.
He can borrow
it. Because she wanted it. She's not going to wear it.
Okay. It's not because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a right for certain rights to be fulfilled. Okay. And it's part of the marriage. It's part of the marriage that the man to give something to this woman for making her private parts lawful for him to show the appreciation. So we are not only look for our selfish wants that we as a man, okay, like almost getting here, I marry you. You didn't even give anything, okay, towards this marriage. And this is something to show you that the women has rights in Islam and have to be respectable. Regardless, you have it or no, it can be also something promised. If you don't have it, it can be something agreed about it. Okay, I will give you $1,000. But I don't have the $1,000 now, and it's going to be payable that every month I give you $100. Okay? But still it have to be dowry. Okay? And please, before I forget again, would like to go back to our original rules and comments and questions is in the end of the class, so I can keep my thoughts together. Thank you very much. So the next hadith, which hadith number 884, we're going to leave this hadith alone due to being ضعيف, weak hadith. Okay, the hadith that started by Amr ibn Shu'aib an Abi. Okay, this hadith, which is in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and Nisa'i ibn Majah, but the hadith is weak. Next hadith, which hadith 885, وعن علقمة ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه انه سئل عن رجل تزوج امرأة ولم يفرض لها صداقا ولم يدخل بها حتى مات, فقال ابن مسعود لها مثل صداق نسائها, ولا وكسة ولا شطط, وعليها العدة ولها الميراث. فقام معقل ابن سنان الأشعي فقال قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بروع بنت واشت امرأة منا مثل ما قضيت, ففرح بها ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه, رواه احمد والاربعة وصححه الترمذي. The hadith is authentic inshallah, and this hadith concerning a man who had married a woman and he did not state it the amount of dowry. This man, he married a woman and he didn't state the amount of dowry, how much it is. And in the same time, this man, he passed away before he consummated the marriage. So Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, gave his fatwa concerning this, that this woman, she will get an equal dowry to what is common and known in the community. We talk about it little bit ago, okay? That if the people did not say how much he's given as a dowry, and they got married without naming the dowry, still this is the right of the woman to demand it, and he will give her what is commonly known utilizing in the community. So the fatwa of Ibn Mas'ud, he said that she deserved the dowry. This number one, with no any injustice, no diminishing, no anything, and for her to have the iddah, the waiting period, and she will inherit. Okay, alright. So here one of the Sahaba stood up and said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the same fatwa concerning what he gave concerning this woman. So Ibn Mas'ud, he was so happy that his fatwa concise with the fatwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we understand from this hadith? Number one, that sadaq or dowry, if it's not been named, if it's not been written down, agreed about it, that the woman still has the right to receive dowry, and the dowry will be according the average or what is commonly known in this local community. Number two, if the man died before he consummated the marriage, okay, but he already, this woman became his wife, the only thing that he didn't sleep with her yet, that this woman has the right to take the dowry, although he didn't touch her, they only make the contract, they went home. He maybe for some reason have to travel, whatever, they didn't get a chance to be together as a husband and wife, but he consider Islamically her husband. She deserves a dowry. This is number one. Number two, she have to have a iddah. She have to have a iddah. Okay? 4 months and 10 days. Okay? And this is the maximum period time of hidad that a woman can make it over a female, over a male. When her son, her brother, her daughter, whosoever dies, maximum period, you understand, she make hidad 3 days. Other than this, the only male member that a woman make hidad, what you call like being mourning, okay, but not the mourning that we understand in English, like wailing, and okay, that means she is not present herself for marriage, she did not beautify herself, she see, okay, all these things, only the husband, because the right of the husband over his wife, 4 months and 10 days. No kohl, no going here and there, not prideful, not any of these things that make her available for marriage or present herself in a marriage, not even to accept any proposals during this period. Okay? So this woman have to go through the iddah period. And also, she has the right to get part of his inherited, which is approximately, if I'm not mistaken, 1/8 of what he possesses. And this is something different from the divorce. Now the divorce is a different case, we're talking about this now. The next hadith, which hadith number 886, وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أعطى في صداق امرأة سويقا أو تمرا فقد استحل. This hadith which reported by Jabir, and the hadith to be مرفوع, that means to say that the Prophet said, is not authentic, but being a mawquf, that means this is the uttering of the Sahabi, will be authentic. Okay? That Jabir is saying that if anyone gives give a woman some of 4 flowers or dates or weed or any of the things, okay, he has made her lawful for himself. That shows you that the sadaq or the mahr or the dowry, okay, it can be also in a form of food, of what is commonly used in this locality. It can be dates, it can be flowers, it can be a mixture of this, or can be cereal. Okay, can go get a truck of cereal, fill the whole closet, okay, the pantry, and see what kind of cereal she likes, pops or whatever, okay, cornflakes, no sugar. And you can fill the pantry if this is what's going to make her happy, and she accepts this to be a sadaq, as a dowry, this will make her lawful for him, and he had fulfilled the dowry. Next hadith, which hadith number 887, we leave it alone due to weakness and defect in the hadith. Page number 366. Hadith number 888 or 888. وعن سهل بن سعد رضي الله تعالى عنه قال زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا امرأة بخاتم من حديد, أخرجه الحاكم وترف من الحديث الطويل. This hadith is not new to us. We already discussed it before. The hadith reported by Sahl ibn Sa'd, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith is authentic. The hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gave a woman in marriage to a man, and the dowry was a ring made out of iron. From this hadith we see the permissibility of using the ring made out of iron as a means of dowry. Also from hadith we learn that the sunnah that the dowry to be easy on the people, not to be something that beyond their ability or something to break their back. And also we see the necessity of presenting a dowry, even if it's something small. Still, this is the right of the woman, and this is the obligation of the man, and he have to present it to the woman. Next hadith, which hadith 889, the hadith is weak, we leave it alone. The next hadith, hadith 890, عن عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الصداق أيسره. That عقبة narrated from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying was the meaning is the best dowry is the one which is the most easy on the future husband. Again, the same thing, that the permissibility of giving something small or minor in the dowry, it is the right of the woman, and still see that Islam encouraging us to make it easy on the people. And again I'm saying why, because dowry, okay, like as example, I attended wedding that the dowry was $50,000 as example, okay, and I perform this wedding, and I perform wedding, and the dowry was $1, okay, and I perform a wedding with the dowry was a paint or a picture somebody draw, you know, like the people go and throw some paint on top of each other and they call it some, okay. And so I know a woman who took something like this, okay. But nevertheless, we still encouraging the guardian and the family of the woman to make it easy, because this man is going to be facing a lot of obligation, financial obligation. It's not going to be the dowry and this it, okay. It's going to be, he have to, if he even living with somebody else, now he have to have his own apartment. If he living in one bedroom, now he may have to think about two bedroom. Now instead of feeding himself, he have to feed himself and his wife instead of shock. So it's a lot of obligation coming, and sooner or later the woman is pregnant. Now you understand, she have to eat certain kind of food, or she have to go to the doctor, and after this a child is coming. So all these things is obligation on the man, because we understand the woman in al-Islam is not obligated to be earning. Not that we saying it's haram for her to earn money, but we saying that she is not obligated, okay, to spend on the house, even if she millionaire, okay. Even if she's millionaire, she is not obligated. If she want to spend and assist her husband, this out of her choice, but could not be a demand on her. And this is the reason we keep saying again that this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make the dowry easy. But can a woman demand aeroplane? This up to her. Now if the man can meet it, alhamdulillah. If he could not, he have to take a walk, okay, or and go find somebody else who will take a car instead of aeroplane, okay? What about the other woman? He asked for a car and he could not pay for a car. So this is her choice, and this is what she demanding. She don't want to move from this position, so he have to take a walk and found somebody that she will accept a bike, as example. So this is it. We go to the next chapter, chapter number 4, concerning Walima, or the festival or the feast for the wedding or after the wedding. And this will be chapter 4 from the book Bulugh al-Maram, page number 367. Excuse me? Oh, did I jump something? Okay. Alright, I'm sorry. There is one last hadith in chapter 3 عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن عمرة بنت الجون تعوذت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين أدخلت عليه, تعني لما تزوجها, فقال لقد عزت بمعاذ, فطلقها وأمر أسامة فمتع بثلاثة أسواب. This incident which took place, one of the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he marry this woman Amra bint al-Jun, and it seem, and Allah knows best, I'm not sure from the incident now, but I think some of the co-wives, they made these tricks on her and told her that when, you know, because some of the co-wives, not all co-wives, okay, but some of the co-wives, they don't like a man to marry a second or a third or a fourth, okay. And now they told her that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to you, and before he sits to you or talk to you, understand, tell him that a'udhu billahi mink. And this was a trick on her, and that means that he will love you more, okay, or you be the best one to him, or whatever it is, which mean I seek protection and Allah from you, okay, like a person say a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Okay, so regardless if this was a trick had play in here, I remember the story, but I could not see where is it now to see the authenticity of it. But basically this what she said when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he married her, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to sit with her, or she brought into him, she said to him, where is it, when she was brought to him, meaning when he married her, and he said, you have sought refuge in, okay, you have sought refuge, the one worthy of seeking refuge in, but where is the word that she said it? Oh, okay, in the beginning here, narrated Aisha Amra bint Jun, daughter of Jun, sought refuge in Allah from Allah His Messenger.